tremendous close to me speaking the Yeshiva. I said many times before just how lucky I am, the Rosh Yeshiva, and people in Rosh Yeshiva who work here in YU and come in every day, be surrounded by you, to be exposed to and be inspired by the beautiful Yeshivas of the Yeshiva. You should only have a continued tzlacha, of course, at this time and the rest of the year. Yadus often demands of us a complex dynamic, in the sense that often for our own growth, we are told to and we feel we should focus on the moment, focus on just today, focus on one Seder, focus on one tefillah. And while focusing on the moment, we're also often called upon to recreate past experiences. To go back in time, feel as though we're reliving meaningful moments of Jewish history. Certainly Shabbos is about, to some degree, placing ourselves back in the mentality of Maaseh Bereishis, appreciating Maaseh Bereishis. Judaism often has no sense of today versus tomorrow versus yesterday, but there's a continuum of time. And certainly that necessity of going back and recreating is certainly the theme of Chodesh Nisan, of course the theme of Pesach, the theme of the Haggadah, where we're told, and this is what the Rishonim and Acharonim say, that in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's not just about a retelling, it's not just about remembering in a distant intellectual fashion, but it's about something very existential, very much going back in time, and reliving Cheirus, reliving that moment. And it's something that we see in many, many marmkomos that I'm sure the B'nai Yeshiva are familiar with. The very fact in Haggadah, Kol Dor V'Dor, every generation, the person has to Liros as Atzmo, of course, the Gears of the Rambam, Laharos as Atzmo, the Yotzim in Mitzrayim, the mission of the Rambam, the very moment, sitting around the dining room table, this very moment a person has left Mitzrayim, the discussion about the proper girsa of the Nomar Lefan of Shir Chadosha. And Tosvos, we showed them the comment, why should be the Nomar? Why are we saying a new Shira now? Should be the Nemar? The discussion we showed him about that point. It's a very beautiful, very famous idea in the Emet Bracha, the Kamaranchik, the Talmud of the Bris Kerov, that says that the Nomar Lefan of Shir Chadosha, that at this very moment, we are creating a new Shira. The person has recreated, the person has experienced the Geula. So that's very much a Shir Chadosha, that each person themselves, a Hallel, that each person themselves presses the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a discussion that we showed him, also a famous discussion, but if we know, as the Gemara and Sanhedrin and other places tell us, that the Malachim were prohibited from singing Shir al Hayam, so then how can we sing Hallel at various points? And that is what created and generated the Shita, the Medrash Harninu, brought down the Beis Yosef, as to why Hallel is a Chatzi Hallel, the last days of Pesach, and it's a sheet of Medrash Harninu that many people take issue with, or many people discuss. But if such a concept is true, that Masa Yodei Tov B'Yam, so how do we sing Hallel on Pesach night? Why is it that there is the Minhag, which is shared by many, of saying Hallel and Shul? Wouldn't that be a conflict with this idea of the inability to sing Shira and keep our suffering? So there's a discussion by the Ran at the end of Pesachim that says that when you actually experience the Nes yourself, so then a person has the ability to sing Shira, the people might be suffering. The malachim who were not nogei b'davar, they themselves were not affected by the mitzrim drowning. For them, it's inappropriate. But for us, Pesach night, where we are literally experiencing a galus, we're experiencing a cheirus, we're experiencing a freedom. So there, based on this Ran, people say that Shira is absolutely appropriate. Many other examples as well. We know in the Haggadah, the paragraph of Chol Dor Vador, there's a Lois of the Seinu, B'lovat Ba'al, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, El Ha'apu San, V'dol Yimahem, Shenemar, V'osanu, V'hotzi, Misham, V'man Havi, Osanu, V'aseis Lanu, V'sa'aris, Asher Nishpa, L'Avoseinu. And again, we quote the Pasuk, V'osanu, V'hotzi, Misham. So the Chayyadam in this Haggadah says that according to the Shita of Rava, we need this second Pasuk to say, V'osanu, V'hotzi, Misham, not just our Abu Seinu, not just our Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, was present, but Osanu, that we ourselves experience Cheirus. There's many, many other examples. Again, the Nomer Lefan of Shir Kadosha, why we can sing Hallel, Rabbi Shita about this Pasuk, and many other examples about our experience of Cheirus. And of course, that idea, on the most simple of levels, of us experiencing Cheirus, is not so much the feeling, and perhaps that's also significant, of walking out with our satchels, walking out with our matzah, but it's really the experience of the Gilui Shechina that we're supposed to recreate, that we're supposed to experience. So in the Revolvi discusses very beautifully in Ali Shura Chelek Beis, that what the Haggadah is about to see where to is, again, experiencing that moment of Chatzos, of Gilui Shechina. It's supposed to be, as the Acharonim point out, to recreate, in a very real sense, the feeling of Cheirus, or what it felt like to be taken as a nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, once a year, we recreate that sense of Cheirus, that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sense of a nation coming to formation, something that, of course, Ramban discussed at the end of Parshas Bo. And that sense of Cheirus is supposed to lead to, again, the connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu on that evening. That's the recreation of Cheirus, of going free. Of course, going free in our day and age should also bring with it the sensitivity of even our recent history. In our recent time as a nation, of what we experience now versus our grandparents, versus our great-grandparents. When we think about the last 2,000 years of Jewish history, and we know what so many people experienced on Pesach, before and after Pesach, we think about the tshuvos, shalos tshuvos mimamakim and other places as well, about the questions of dalakosos in the ghetto, questions of binyotze, matzah with potato rinds, without all people could find in the concentration camp. You think about even people more recently who've been in a state of shibud. My father used to have a very beautiful idea when we were kids growing up in the 1970s and the 1980s. He would give out a list of the refuseniks at the beginning of the Seder. Remind us there were people who were celebrating Pesach in basements at the risk of being arrested, people in jail, to bring home to us in a very real way our own cheirus, our own opportunities. And those are perhaps two different approaches to cheirus. The cheirus going free that brings us back to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the experience of Gilui Shechina in those moments, and also the cheirus of just our history and our people and where we've been and where we've come from. But in other ways, I just want to speak about for a few minutes, I want to encourage all of you to look at your own life, a life that by all looks, a life that by all measures would seem to be free, freedom of movement, freedom of decision, the freedom of opportunities that have come in your life until now and will come in the future, but to really ask ourselves whether we are truly free. To look at the next couple weeks and to look at the experience of the Jesus Triune and the value of Cheirus as being a model for ourselves of the necessity of freedom and the work that it takes to truly be free. What do I mean by asking, are we truly free as people? Have we experienced personal Cheirus? I think in many ways, if you think about your life and you ask yourself, am I exactly the person that I want to be? Or do I feel shackled, paralyzed, constricted by forces in my life? I think you would agree that often for ourselves, in a very personal, in a very real way, Cheirus is needed. Think about those people, people in this room, people throughout YU and beyond, that feel, in the words I used before, shackled, paralyzed by addiction. This was true in the time of the Gemara, people struggling with taifa, with various forms of an inability to rise above sexual needs. And certainly, even more true today, when the challenges are far greater. And how many of us feel that we're truly breaking the bonds of the multiple addictions, taivos, needs to truly be the people that we want to be? How many people are shackled with depression? And our tefillah for our own cheirus and our own commitment to cheirus is as real as any cheirus that's experienced going back to Yeshiva Tzrayim. Sometimes I ask myself, I'm sure this question applies to others here as well, are we truly free from the noise in our life? The very close chaver, he used to be the Rav in Shomer Moon in Baltimore, Rabbi David Gottlieb, or Bruce is here in YU for a couple of years. He one time said in the Drasha in Rosh Hashanah that Rabbi Gottlieb comes from a very beautiful house in Cincinnati. And when he was leaving Shalavim in his first year, he told Rabbi Amar, who I know many of you have had as a Rebbe, and this was true back in 1991, you could imagine Rabbi Amar's response in 2014. Told Rabbi Amar, he said, I'm particularly excited to go home, some words to that effect. He said, my family just installed in our bathroom a shower radio. It's exciting. I guess they're having some conversation in a in a very warm, relaxed fashion. And Rabbi Amar, those of you who know Rabbi Amar, you can imagine his voice. He said, in the shower? He said, the last bastion of freedom and silence in a person's life, shower, and even there, a radio, even there, noise. Rabbi Gottlieb was saying this in the context of the Yom HaDin and the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, of Kol Bayi Olam, that every person comes like B'nai Maron, and of course we know the three opinions of the Gemara. But that's the image of being sort of alone in your thoughts and alone in front of God and not feeling the outside noise of the world. So how many of us are even free just to sit for an hour by ourselves? The moment of hisbodedus, the moment of just inner peace, without worrying about who's calling and who's texting and who this and what's happening in the outside world and who am I connected to, who am I not connected to. But what's gone is the value of just the freedom inside of our own souls, the freedom inside of our own minds. Freedom to really think, freedom to grow in a very silent, in a very private way. How many of us are free from that? How many of us, and this is especially nogeya to people, teenage years, early 20s, people in high school, people in college, and especially in yeshiva, Rav Volpe has an unbelievable letter in Al Yishurah Chelek Aleph about exactly this point. But how many of us are free from insecurities? Free from the constant feeling of who's looking at us and who's advanced beyond us, who's stronger in cheer, who's more accomplished, more popular, who this, who that, who's being asked to go on this program and this kollel, and I'm just over here and no one. How many of us feel the true shalom just within ourselves? How many of us feel just content within our own lives, growing, pushing, with ambition? What happens within ourselves without the constant burden and the heaviness of comparison, of insecurity, of looking around? That's a shibud that is as daunting, a shibud that is as crushing as even the shackles of slavery. Well, lastly, when I think about Cheirus, I think about, I only have a few moments left, but I think about something that just even happened to me a few weeks ago. I had the schus of being in Eretz Yisrael on my yearly trip to YU, and I spoke in Yeshiva HaKotel very, very late at night, the Thursday night, I think 12:30, 12:15 shmooze. I was given very strict instructions by my wife, which is like a voice on high, to not drive back to Ramat Beit Shemesh at like 2:30 in the morning. So I asked Rabbi Harrigan, can I stay in the Yeshiva HaKotel dorms for the night? Now, for many of you here who went to Yeshiva HaKotel, it's an amazing yeshiva. I don't think I'm speaking out of line to say that it's not the plaza, it's not whatever the image might be, it's not that. When I got to the dorm at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, this teeny little mattress in a room that, again, was not by any stretch of imagination fancy. I thought to myself, at my age, sleeping in a dorm room, in this, Alex, you know what I mean, sleeping in this mattress, in this, I thought to myself, people read about the lives of Rav Kook. People know the way that Rav Kook lived his entire life. He had a table and he had a mattress. And he died without a penny. He had nothing in this world. Rav Kook was a tzaddik gomor. Every shekel he had, every lira he had, he gave away to people around him. I wonder if it bothered him. I wonder if he sat there thinking, this is me, the chief rabbi of Israel, sleeping on this mattress. When a person truly lives the dictum of Pirkei Avos, the person wants to be free, their osig, the Talmud Torah. It doesn't just mean learning. It's a person who has a vibrant spiritual life. A person who's really growing. A person who feels a deep connection to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and their life is about growth and development and the life of the nefesh. We find ourselves shackled by every single pursuit and every single need and every single ambition and every single collection of objects in our life. When we truly focus internally of what really makes a person happy and productive, at that very moment we just feel the tension of the world and the tension of needing and the tension of need just somehow manages to slip away. Bali Musar discuss. A person wants to live a free life, they live within their soul, within the happiness of a vibrant spiritual life. I often think, I'm sure many think as well, about the happiest moment of the year. I'm sure for most of you here, it's the moment that Ne'ilah is finished. The energy in this base medrash, the energy in the shul, hundreds of people collectively as one voice, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. And at that moment, just the needs of the world, and the needs of pursuit, and the needs of getting ahead, and which all has its time and place, it fades away, and instead what replaces that is just a pure spiritual freedom of living the life that truly makes a person and gives a person some tzachayim. I conclude with a story that I read in the diary of Hillel Seidman. It's been printed in many places. Hillel Seidman was, it's an absolutely fascinating story. He wrote a biography, a diary of life in the Warsaw Ghetto, and then he ended up hiding it underground. And he came back years later to Warsaw to reclaim it, and it was printed as a diary. And he spoke about going to the factory, the Schultz factory, I believe in 1942, and there he saw the Piasetzner Rebbe and some of the other luminaries of the ghetto who were given the opportunity to work in the factory instead of being in the ghetto itself, and described the scene of these golden standing around and surrounded by the Nazi guards, and in the worst of circumstances. You know, the Piasetzner lost essentially his entire family when Poland was bombed. And it described the scene of standing in this factory, these beaten down men, and the conversation of Torah began, the back and forth in the Rambam, the back and forth in the Gemara. And Hillel Seidman, who was there, said, at that moment, who was concerned with the Nazis, and who was concerned with the poverty, and who was concerned that there was such a sense of transcendence and elevation? There was a sense of transformation among those personalities. Whenever I think about freedom, I think about that scene. I think about that the world can move around us, and the world pushes us in directions. But if we have that internal sense of a spiritual freedom, of a chavrus, we have a sense of who we are, we have a sense of a deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a sense of real spiritual ambition, the heaviness, the forces, the pressures of the world somehow are placed in this proper context, so we're able to live a spiritually vibrant life. Wish all of you bracha that in it was 2 weeks from yesterday, 2 days ago, we sit around our tables. So certainly we experience the chayrus of old, that moment of chatzos halayla. Certainly we think about all those people, both currently and especially in our past, we're not free. But we also commit ourselves to our own freedom. Freedom from addiction, freedom from depression, freedom from the noise that often becomes front and center in our life, freedom from the overpowering insecurity that creates such a turbulence in people's lives. And ultimately the freedom that comes from living a life of genuine spiritual ambition, the genuine life of the nefesh, genuine life of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that creates a prioritization in our life. If we can do that, we can proudly say, Kol Dor V'Dor, every generation, I myself, tonight, on this evening, am also my way to freedom, also my way to my own spiritual affairs. Thank you, everyone.